If you think, I don't have the budget to hire a marketer, just shop within your budget. Maybe it's only going to get you down the road for 3 months, but it'll probably get you faster to that stage. Your efficiency in the short run is probably worth shopping for something in your budget rather than elongating the time it's going to take to get to a place where you can't afford that. Welcome to Marketing with Matt. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner looking to create more margin in your life and business, you're in the right place. For more after the show, be sure to check out profitmoreworkless.com. Let's talk about a huge holding point or a stall for a lot of businesses, especially if you're the owner, you're the founder, you're the visionary, and you're kind of marketing inclined. At the end of the day, a lot of businesses grow up in this way where they have been the rainmaker. They had to be the rainmaker. If they couldn't find a way to get sales, like the business wouldn't exist. And it's almost impossible on day one to have somebody else responsible for that because you couldn't afford to pay them if there weren't actually sales coming in. And so one of those first movements is to bring in other folks to have that responsibility, other folks to be the rainmaker, or, you know, in this context, other folks to be the marketer, the person who is responsible for driving growth, for driving new sales, for driving marketing objectives in the business. And I'm going to give you some stories and context from our experience and things that I've learned and things that have worked, things that have not worked. And just all my thoughts around hiring and doing yourself, and just the people doing the marketing. So first thing actually is that, when should you hire? I feel like actually in this experience, you can hire much sooner than you think you can for this role. I'm going to talk to you about why I believe that's true. But I first actually got this from, it was a guy named Brian in Nashville, giving this concept of, you know, if the marketer's job is to drive sales, if they're halfway decent, they should pay for themselves. I don't say halfway decent. You should make it a requirement that they pay for themselves. So in the same way where people are pretty easygoing about hiring commission-only sales reps, you actually can structure a deal, a compensation expectation such that you can always hire a marketer. So I mentioned in the beginning, it usually starts off to be you because you need to have proof of concept. Is the offer good? Does anybody actually want to buy it? But I think you can structure the relationship in a way where, you know, it could even give you feedback in those areas. So let me give you an example. If you did a commission-only marketer role, you're typically going to get younger talent, folks that are looking to prove themselves, folks that if you haven't done any offer there, like you could actually do a commission-only marketer role. This is in effect what like affiliates are. Affiliates are commission-only marketers. They're out there doing the marketing. They're connecting your product to other people and they take a cut. Typically, you're paying higher than if you were doing it yourself, right? Low risk, higher compensation. And so we think about this in the software space. It's pretty common to have 40% commission. And so if an affiliate brings over a customer, you give them 40%. And for some of these software companies, it's in perpetuity. And I'd say it ranges anywhere from 10 to 40% in terms of what they're willing to give. Usually, this is related to how mature the company is. If the company is better at acquiring a customer, they typically give less commissions because they're like, well, we could do it ourselves, which is fair. Like that's usually what you're benchmarking against. And the alternative to that, or I'd say the other example where I see this not happen as much is when the company has a mature value ladder that's not related to the product that the affiliate is promoting. This is the classic example of ClickFunnels. They sell a lot of informational products. They sell events. They have things that have either high margin so that giving a high commission is very much so doable. An info product is an example of this. If you sell my course on my behalf, I can easily give you 40% because my cost to fulfill is very low. And so it's just net margin works really well. And or alternatively, when they get someone into their ecosystem, they sell them a ticket to an event, there's no commissions on that. They're the only people that can promote those products. Therefore, they're willing to give a higher amount to acquire the lead, acquire the buyer, and then 0% on the back end of their value ladder. So it all kind of makes sense in the larger scheme there. They've even done structures like this. I don't want to pick on them, but I think it's a great example because they have a robust space here where it's a high percentage of the front end, maybe 100% of a $100 offer, and then 10 or 0% of the back end. So all to say, can you get in a commission-only marketer? Absolutely you can. That's what affiliates are. Usually they want to see some proof that it can be done. So I do think it has to start with you. You got to do the marketing. That's why you're here. We're listening. We're growing. So that's the first way you can structure this, purely commission. This works especially well if you are you're risk averse and you're okay with like scrappy talent. So sometimes the first one, like you can go out and offer this. My caveat here is, are your best folks going to want to take it? No, because it says to them, you're not even that confident in the structure of the business. It says I'm immature. All that I can offer you is this. This is why a lot of folks will start off with just affiliates where they're just offering commissions too. But so you can do commission only. It's possible you could try it. And I encourage you, if you think I don't have the budget to hire a marketer, just shop within your budget. And so it's like the same thing. If I was thinking about cars and someone was like, oh, I have to walk to work and it's 5 miles away because I can't afford a car, I'd be like, you could probably find a $500 car that maybe can only go 2 miles or can only make it for 5 miles and is only going to be good for the next 3 months. But your efficiency in the short run is probably worth shopping for something in your budget rather than elongating the time it's going to take to get to a place where you can't afford that. So think about that with marketers as well. You can offer something that's within your budget now. Maybe it's only going to get you down the road for 3 months, but it'll probably get you faster to that stage where you can afford something in this next zone, which I'd say is lower strategy, higher technical. You can hire on the like fill in the marketer gap, folks that are play the function of the rainmaker, but are really just giving you extra capacity to focus on other things. So for example, let's say if I have a mechanism, I know if I go into a group, this would be like a baby role here for like, how could I hire a marketer? If I go into a group and I post a post kind of like this, people will engage, they'll like it, they'll comment, they'll create conversations, they'll DM, and it happens and it works. And I can document for myself, like, here are the things that I like to post. Here's the kind of organic outreach that I do, even to the value of, I let people know that this exists. There's so many Facebook groups where people will say, let me know what you're doing. You're just not in that day in and day out. You're just not even present. If you were, you'd be there posting saying, here's my offer. I see it all the time. They'll be like, Friday, what's your business? What's your offer? Like, give your shameless plug right here. You just can't be in all those places. And so those low strategy tasks that you could summarize out, you're effectively hiring a VA, but like you can on the degree of kind of have mixed responsibility where maybe half of their time is really low strategy, just high execution. You've told them, here's the 5 tasks I want you to do every day. And then for the other part of the day, now you get to grow in autonomy. So high execution for half of the role, high autonomy. What is it? What does it start to feed into? It's just a lower cost employee, a lower cost role. They might be your marketer. They're the only person you have doing any sort of marketing efforts, but they're really more of like a marketing integrator where you tell them what to do. They just do it. And, you know, maybe they're a little bit more skilled in terms of tonality or they understand the customer avatar. Like they can grasp it and learn fast. And so domestically, this is like new grads. Maybe this is a recent high school graduate. Like these are people, this could be their first job, but I could hire a kid in high school for minimum wage to be my marketing integrator. But because they might just be a little bit more connected to my avatar, or I could talk to them once and they're a good communicator. They've got some foundational skills that work really well for marketing. They understand empathy. They understand, you know, not being weird, or maybe they have a pulse on social media. They can post things like that. You can deploy a role, early role, very low cost, could be part-time, could be minimum wage, but you're responsible for the strategy. Your strategy, their implementers. And that's a good example of an early role you can hire there still. And I think more folks will be like, I can't hire the top tier, so I'll hire nothing. And I think if you buy within your budget, you know, I think back to like my wife and I's home buying journey. This is what we did. And I'll contrast to my siblings. I love them, but they rented, thinking I cannot yet afford the 3-car garage that I want. Rent, saving up for the 3-car garage. Whereas my wife and I was like, buy the small condo, then buy the small home, then buy the bigger home, then buy the bigger home. And so at each stage, kind of like buying within our budget and not disallowing ourselves from making progress because we can't afford our ultimate dream state there, we went much faster through that process because each level builds upon itself. It actually does make it faster and easier to afford the next level. I say the same thing's true in marketing. So it's okay to buy within your budget, place these little pieces, and you'll see it go faster. The next piece I would say for like these full roles is you have, it's actually, I think about it as like specialists, not generalists. And so once again, you're still strategically saying, this is where I want to place my focus, but you're hiring assassins for a very specific thing. If you want to do paid marketing, it is a little bit of a misnomer to think that like there's just very few, call it like black belt marketers. And even then, there's probably like a specialty. Like you think about like, well, let's go martial arts. There's so many specialties in martial arts. They might be a black belt in jujitsu, but it doesn't mean they're a black belt in karate. And both of them can be very effective at the goal, whatever it is, martial arts. But you understand there's a specialty there. And so people will go out and I think their first hire, they'll usually, I'll see them commonly go generalist and they might have been better going, better than average specialist to find an area that works. I'll give you an example for me right now. This is just practically, I have not prioritized growing YouTube as like a focused state. There's been other channels we've done very well. I say email marketing is something we've done well. It's very effective for us. We've grown that space, refined it, have great processes. And I was talking to somebody else, it was a client, and they're like, they just got their $100,000 plaque. And they're like, how do you not have more subscribers? I'm like, that just has them the focus. They do zero email marketing. They have 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. You know, we've got right now about 60,000 on the list of like email and like, 5,000, 4 or 5,000 on terms of the YouTube subscribership there. And so, and we've got like high open rates and of a good process there of sequences. You don't have to be great at all levels of marketing. And sometimes it's better not to try and like run in 5 different directions. It's better to just like make progress in one. So sometimes like one channel, one offer, one avatar, like you can get further faster with that focus. And so if you're thinking, I need to hire a marketer, you're strategically saying, this is where I want our focus to be. There's really no wrong answer. There really is no wrong answer. But now you're intentionally hiring more of a specialist, not the top tier specialist, but someone who is acknowledged in their specialty as opposed to a generalist. And I see that kind of push folks further in that. Let's go like top tier. You got an unlimited budget. Like I want to do, just an absolute killer from it. Like head of marketing. I want to be hands off. I want them to run strategy, kind of this thing here. There's once again, I think you can structure this in a way where you can afford almost anything that you want, because at this level, there's going to be a match of risk. Like you're going to give some degree of just confidence that this is worth moving into. I'm going to benchmark to, I talked about Hermosi before and I just saw they're hiring a bunch of roles. So here, if you want to, you look at what they're doing, they've got bonus always. There's always some like mixed comp side to it in terms of bonus. But I believe, I don't know if they quite do this, but I've seen this mixed variable comp. So I might say I'm advertising the post and it's 150K because I want top tier talent. I want them absolutely to be top tier talent. Of that 150, it's a mix of you get paid for existing and you get paid for setting and meeting expectations. Literally, it's variable comp for them to be allowed to say what they're going to do and then they actually do it. Plus, bonuses for outperforming it. And so in this sequence there, I can offer like part of compensation could be variable, just like it's just setting expectations for the employee, the team, whatever the role might be. So if I said to someone, I'm hiring you as a video editor. This is a different role. Let's go marketer. Their benchmark is, I think, works best when people get to set their own expectations. And then they just have to meet those expectations. I think they've talked about it publicly before as well, but I've seen maybe others have a similar sort of worksheet here. It's like, can they set and meet their own expectations? So if that's their marketing role, their goal and objective ultimately is very easily aligned to your company's aligned success. So one metric here that I've shared is CAC to net LTV ratio. And so it basically says, it's profitable acquisition is what's going on there. So like if our net LTV on this product or this offering, whatever it is $1,000. And if my cost to acquire is $200, it would be a 5-to-1 ratio, 5-to-1. Why this is actually a healthy metric to focus on from a marketing perspective, it maybe is a little more advanced as I'm saying it, but it is really healthy, is because you don't accidentally have a segmented understanding of fulfillment. It's roped into net LTV. So your marketer doesn't accidentally be like, hey, I generated $300,000 of revenue. And you're like, yeah, it cost me $299,000 to fulfill. And they're like, it only cost me $100,000 to sell $300,000. And you're like, we just net lost $99,000. Like this was a bad formula there. So you can pick these sort of ratios. I mean, honestly, if you're doing net LTV to CAC ratio, anything over 1-to-1 is actually profitable because you've accounted for your cost of fulfill there, but you can tie their goals and objectives to those ratios And then, you know, call it cliffs within that ratio. So it kind of says like, we're healthy, we're actually growing so that I could afford to pay you more money. Because if you market me into, you know, going out of business, obviously nobody wins here. But so this is a structure where there's, it's a split, you know, you've got base and then the portion of it should still give a top tier marketer confidence, because you're saying, even if it's 50%, I give you for existing. I'm just going to risk that as like, I'm just giving you confidence, 50% for existing. The other 50% is you tell me what your goal is. I'm telling you, like, this is healthy. So if your goal doesn't include some measurement of health, like, okay, there's a miss here. But usually it's like, what should I expect within health? So you're on the same page about that. And they will set it. And honestly, from the start, it's like before the expectation is set, if someone's like, you know, I'm going to get you at least one more customer this month and the ratio is going to be like 2-1, you're kind of sitting there like, is that $150,000 worth of work to you? Like, just want to make sure we're on the same page here. Like, is that excellent work? Right. So usually what'll happen is if they're really good, they know how to appropriately set expectations there. And then you can create a bonus structure beyond that. So there's like, hey, do this well, do this healthfully. And then the role of marketer, similar to sales, has untapped value potential. I'll say this is like, if you're listening to this and you're just building skills for yourself, this is a great area to develop skills in, because if you're the rainmaker, you have the you really do have the ability to make the most amount of money of anybody in the company, because you're driving everyone else's like existence. If no one buys it, there's no one to fulfill and there's no need for fulfillment. And so, from a value perspective, it's untapped. So from a hiring perspective, I'm not saying you have to go with a ceiling there, but don't, like, it's designed in your favor, right? And like I said, from the early example of a commission only, like an affiliate, don't not make an affiliate deal because you're worried that you might pay them $1 million a year. You're doing this in the reverse order. It's like people who say, like, I don't want to pay a lot in taxes. You're like, you don't want to pay a lot in taxes? Like, that means you made a lot of money. So it feels bad in like in a focus center, like, man, you're paying that much for your marketer. But they're like, no, if you create a scenario where they win because you won, then you can wholeheartedly be like, I want them to make as much money as possible. And I would say in the early on, don't worry about trying to make as shrewd of a deal as possible, because you just need to have wins there. But I will say this naturally happens. And this is why people cycle out. You might be like, why would someone go from a bigger, better reputation company to you, the smaller, you know, in growth company? It's because in those bigger, better reputation companies, they're shrewder. They're like, hey, you can make up to $500,000 a year. And so these are people, like, we've had these applicants like for sales positions where they're like, I've capped my commission. Like, I reached my commission cap. And so therefore I'm interested in your less established, less, you know, credible company, because you have a higher potential and I've established myself to be good. I just want to be good in a place where my value can take a little bit more from the company. And this is, it's just a natural progression of maturity. And I'd say this is inevitable. The bigger the company gets, the more mature the systems come, where there's not just one person, there's 10 people. You replicate this. You don't have one rainmaker. You have multiple rainmakers. As the business owner, I'm just going to tell you, this inevitably happens. You get to structure better and better deals because you have less and less fragile systems. But early on, you're trying to decide, when can I hire a marketer? I think you can do it immediately. And I'd actually encourage you to keep on investing and buying within your budgets, because you'll get to that further spot. But make wise deals. Make wise deals that are aligned to outputs. Trust your gut. If something feels off, this is what I've been, you know, historically slow on. I'll give you an example. We now have somebody else who oversees sales. Same thing, like, oversaw the sales team, and I'd keep a bad salesperson around for way too long. I just felt like, as a human, I was like, I might keep a sales. I might let somebody be an underperformer, undeniably losing money on them for like 4 to 6 weeks. Cause I'm like, keep coaching them, trying them. Like, our new head of sales right now is like, dude, you miss KPI for 1 week, you have one more grace week. So that means you can miss it for like 2 weeks. Then you're gone because you're stealing opportunities from other folks. I'm like, that comes from a shrewdness of experience. Like, they've been in bigger teams and bigger organizations where it's just a maturity. I would say it's a maturity. It feels shrewd, but you're like, at the end of the day, if business, similar line of thinking as like a sports team, all of the fans would be booing the coach who's like, oh yeah, he's thrown like 17 interceptions, but just like, just give him a couple more downs to try. You'd be like, dude, you're sinking it for the whole team. And I'd say in marketing, sales, these early value drivers, they have lagging consequences for the rest of the team. And so you really do need to try and be more shrewd. I'm telling you, I'm not the best at it. I'm just encouraging you that I've seen it work way better when people are. And I think it does come with experience and maturity there. So hopefully this has been helpful. Some thoughts about hiring and deploying the team. I guess one last tip. Have a test in the hiring process. We did this for the first time. We've done tests before, but for the first time ever, we did a really material test, which gave us not just subjective, but objective criteria. And so you can pay for this test. You can say, I'm willing to pay you for this test. It completely changed the hiring perspective on who you would have said, I think that this is a top candidate to like when it came out. And so we just, you know, we were affected or just influenced a lot by the Olympics. It's like, you don't get bonus points for sweating more in the race. Like you finish first and second and third and marketing, the sales, like it's kind of a similar lane there. What's high value potential, but it's like high reward, high risk, even for the people that are doing it. And so the great people that are like, I've got a black belt, I trust myself to do it. Like they'll show up in the ring. They're like, yeah, watch me fight. Like watch me do my craft. I know that I'm good. And it was really revealing to see this experiment. I think some folks were turned off by it. Like, you're going to give me a test. I was like, well, I wasn't running it, but I thought that's appropriate. My goodness. How much easier. We didn't have to have an interview to filter to these people out. They self-filtered and said like, oh, I don't want to be held accountable to actually doing it. And you're like, oh, this is perfect. This is not the right space. And so teach their own with the types of tests you want to do there. But I think it should be something that's practically connected to what you're hoping they would accomplish. Because that also can clarify expectations. As I mentioned, there's specialty, there's generalists. And you might be thinking, you might say, I want a marketer, but what you mean is I want someone to do paid advertising because you've already had that strategic input there. And so you make your test related to the task or the function. And someone might say, oh, I only do SEO. And you're like, that's great. You're phenomenal. We weren't going to hire you anyways. And so I'd rather you filter yourself at the test where you were like, I do SEO. It's going to take 8 months to get a result. And you're like, that's awesome. Someday we'll hire someone for SEO. Now's not that day. And so having the test was just a really cool, like I said, objective metric to say, not just what do people say, what do their resumes look like, how good of an interviewer are they, but like, what can they actually do in terms of, you know, being closer to what the role will actually be there. So hopefully some tips and insight that'll help you in your next marketing hire. Thanks for tuning in for this week's Marketing with Matt. Check out ProfitMoreWorkLess.com to learn how we create high margin marketing. Also, if you know someone who'd enjoy the podcast, feel free to make a recommendation. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. Okay, bye for now.